special report coronavirus hearing. The nation's top coronavirus testing official, Brett Garrar, warning.
We cannot test our way out of this or any other pandemic. Testing does not replace personal responsibility. It does not substitute for avoiding crowded indoor spaces or washing hands or wearing a mask. A negative test does not mean that you won't be positive tomorrow. A negative test does not substitute for avoiding crowds or wearing a mask or protecting the vulnerable with your actions.
The committee chairman, James Clyburn.
Since the earliest days of this crisis, the Trump administration has also refused to call on Americans to take simple steps to stay safe, like wearing a mask and social distancing. Instead, the president has downplayed the severity of the crisis, claiming the virus will disappear.
Fauci says a vaccine could be ready before the end of the year. I'm Mike Moss. Hurricane Isaias is threatening to hit anywhere from Florida to Maine, and meteorologist Allison Chinchar says the storm has gusted 100 miles per hour, creating a dangerous threat that is coincidental with the struggle to contend with the pandemic.
We do have hurricane warnings in place across the Bahamas, and you have tropical storm watches in place for cities like Miami and Fort Lauderdale as well. And we're likely to see more of those extend up the East Coast the closer the storm actually gets to the U.S. coast.
Correspondent Randy Kaye from Florida.
They're taking all the precautions they can. They've shut down all of the state-run testing sites for coronavirus. Here in Palm Beach County, they closed 8 of them. In Broward County, they closed 12. Miami-Dade, they closed 13. So 33 testing sites have closed in the hardest-hit counties here in the state of Florida. They took down the tents and the poles because they just cannot withstand these hurricane
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby. The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect.
DinoVite.com.
We've been using DinoVite, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing up. He didn't smell. He had more energy, a glow and a bounce about him.
You get some DinoVite, how happy your dog will be.
DinoVite.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help and utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Excessive heat warning in effect through the weekend. Hottest day of the week will be today, 118 with sunshine, 85 the overnight low for tonight, and the south wind at 5. Sunny and 111 on Saturday, 84 Saturday night, same for Sunday, and then Monday, sunny and 112.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Another nice Friday in Yuma. Basically I read a lot of things, and one of the things that keeps popping up in my reading is the food supply, the food shortage on a national basis. So I thought it would be a good idea to bring Shara Merton here. She's executive director of the Yuma Community Food Bank. Is that the right title?
It is close. Okay. Everything's close.
Director? What's your exact title?
It's president and CEO, and the last name changed to Whitehead.
Oh, Whitehead, okay.
So we can just all get that out.
You know what? You have your name badge on, and I can't read, so I apologize.
No apology necessary.
Yep, so congratulations.
We've been friends for a long time, thanks.
Yep. I thought it'd be a good idea to call you in and kind of get a standpoint on a local basis, but also we talked a little bit on a national level, and I think you got some friends around the state that are in the supply food supply situation. And then I also want to go into some areas as far as what the food bank needs, and we'll talk about some tax credits that people might be able to take advantage of. And pretty much have an open mic, and then we'll have people can call in. Our phone number is 344-5258. If you have any questions for us, that'd be great. So a little bit of background on you. How long have you been with the food bank?
I first started in 2013, and my late predecessor, Mike Ivers, recruited me. I've never been recruited for a job in my whole life, but gratefully did.
And Mike's a legend for people like me, because... That guy was amazing at getting people together and rallying the troops. And
he really was.
Yeah, so anyways, he's passed away. So Mike.
Yeah, he's rallying the troops in a higher level.
Yep. So what are you seeing in the last, since this COVID virus came out? How's that affecting the food bank?
Well, it was pretty stark in the first month because my director of operations, Michelle Merkley, and I, we weren't sure if we were going to receive any more food or when it was, because the supply chain was starting to fall apart. Food that we had in the warehouse, we were looking at how can we make sure we can maybe change our allocation so that we can make sure that we...
Stretch it out a little bit, kind of thing?
Yeah, like most families do with their pantries. You know, they look at what they have and how they can stretch it out, and food bank really was put in that position as well. So luckily things started changing, because unlike many places, there's not an easy place for us to go for food. Our food banks in the state of Arizona, there's four of us, St. Mary's, United Food Bank, and Community Food Bank of Tucson. We all network with each other, and the conversations were immediate as to how can we collaborate so that we can share what we have until the supply chains start opening back up. The federal government was the first one really to start that conversation. So I really appreciate our administration for being, you know, receptive to that.
Was there any funds or that from the federal government or state or?
It really was on a federal level, though, you know, looking at programs, because we have two big programs at the food bank. It's the Emergency Food Assistance Program, or it's an acronym of TFAP, and then a senior box that it's for those 60 and older. Those are both federal programs.
Okay.
And they're funded federally. They do a reimbursement for costs for food banks. So
now, how long has that been in effect? I haven't heard about the senior box.
Gosh, that used to be with the Department of Health Services in the state of Arizona. State agencies have to take custody of federal programs. It's just the way they're designed.
Mm-hmm.
And that program shifted over last year to the Department of Economic Security with the Emergency Food Assistance Program. So DEF now covers most of the hunger relief programs in the state. One major program that came out brand new was the Coronavirus Assistance Program, or CFAP. And that was really an economic stimulus to the growers, the distributors that were all impacted when we shut the country down for a little bit.
So you think some of the Yuma growers participated in that, that you know of? Or?
There were some.
Uh-huh.
There were some. And they're all, they're linked in different ways. One in particular, Legends Produce, which grows and harvests and is pooled at Unicool. So we did receive some produce.
Which is your neighbor, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying hey to Ronnie Rojas because he's a good manager over there. Great partner with Food Bank. But yeah, that CFAP program is very unique and different. It's a weekly program. We get weekly boxes from various vendors because each vendor had to put in a proposal. So it could, like Sarah Farms was one of the ones who was awarded.
Okay.
And so we get milk weekly through this bid cycle. And the bid cycle ends, it'll go through the end of the year, but one bid cycle ends in September.
Mm. That's also your neighbor.
Oh, yes. We're in a good hood. We're close to the freeway.
So just to get an idea, like how many gallons of milk did that provide the food bank monthly, say, or something? Roughly, was it like?
I would say that because food banks never traditionally ever got any kind of protein, and you know, fluid milk was unheard of back when Mike and I were working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was over 40,000 gallons of milk in a month. I'll have to double check those numbers.
So that milk must go to the other food banks around the state?
Oh, that's just us.
Oh, just you. Okay.
Yeah.
So that seems like a lot to me.
Oh, it is. It's enormous. Between DES and the federal government, Governor Ducey's been very supportive of our effort. We've had the National Guard there because we lost our inmate labor due to COVID.
Right.
And I can tell you that was another discussion that Michelle and I had, because losing volunteers, losing the inmates, that's our labor.
Free labor too, right?
Yeah, an important labor.
Yeah.
We would have zero bodies other than the paid staff to pack the bags and pack the baskets.
That's not possible.
It is, but you have to change. You have to change the way you do business. You're not open every day. You have to reset.
Okay.
So at some point.
I know a lot of the students used to come in and help, but that went away too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, everything changed.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
So today, would you say that?
Except the need.
Yeah.
The need increased.
Yeah.
Because we had so many people that were first time to the food bank.
I read an article that's very popular right now. It's comfort foods. Are you doing comfort foods too? Because I think it's important.
Is that like a chocolate bar, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, chocolate, potato chips, ice cream, all of the comfort foods are big.
You know, our retail stores do a knockout job of donating. And we get a little bit of everything, so there's comfort foods, too. There's comfort foods. I never thought about it in that way, but you're right.
We need them psychologically. We're all depressed right now.
Chemical.
We've been isolated.
A little victory if you get to have some candy, right?
Yeah, we've been isolated.
Chocolate never hurt anybody.
There you go.
So right now, would you say the food bank, compared to, say, a year ago, is 70, 80, 100%, or not 100%. Where do you guys stand today, if you were to put a number on it?
We've increased over 40%.
Okay. So more clients, you might say.
Yeah, that's exactly what we refer to them as, clients. Yeah. And we've had just a surge, which ebbed and flowed a little bit, but it's, now we've got other people that are unemployed. I mean, every time there's a shift in the conversation of who needs to stay closed business-wise, who can be open, you end up with people that work in those industries that are now unemployed, and it's difficult for them.
Sure. Now, I don't know the name of the facility, but I know they had a new processing plant for the eggs.
Oh, yeah, Allmark.
Now, have you done anything with those guys?
We have. They're food banks are really well supported in some ways, mm-hmm. you know, having to do with food. The pandemic brought out a lot of private foundation donors across the United States that were very sympathetic to what we needed. The problem we had was if they gave us funds, was finding a place that we could purchase.
Oh, I see.
Because that's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
The supply
chain. And you're not used to purchasing, right?
Not as much. Yeah. We do some purchasing, but the majority of what we have is donated.
Okay. So we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
Enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
You must find out who you are.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, and we got Shara Whitehead. She's president and CEO of the Yuma Community Food Bank, and I wanted to bring her in to kind of get a status quo on how that's going. And I've also been reading on a national level, our food supply got out of whack a little bit with the virus. So let's talk about that. I mean, on a national level, I know a lot of the meat packing plants were shut down for, I don't know if it's 30 days or 60 days. But
seemed like a long time.
Yeah. And how did that affect you guys? I mean, how did that affect the markets in general? You probably know more about that than I do.
Well, I don't know. You're kind of a market guy.
Not a meat, though, so.
It definitely gave us pause to try to see what we were going to receive or if we were going to receive anything. Having some friends that are in the ranching business mid-state helped me understand better. You know, when you start disrupting a supply chain flow, it just rolls back, you know. And we were pretty worried for a long time what we were going to receive.
Yeah. Especially when it's a perishable item, mm-hmm. whether it's farm or greens or even a meat is technically perishable because it can't last forever.
Nope.
But you're saying, and what I was understanding is, there's a lot of people out there that either grow stuff or have animals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really not a lack of supply from that standpoint.
No.
But it all bottlenecks at these food processing plants, which are probably not as many as there could be. And I think that controlled too by a group of people. I mean, I know just I mean, don't quote me on this, but just to do a food processing plant out here in Yuma, I think you're talking, you know, $20 million or some crazy number.
Gosh, you got that on me. I don't even have any idea.
It's not for the meek. I mean, it takes a certain amount to get up and going.
It does, and there's, you know, there's, as you mentioned when we were off air, there's less places that do food processing in the United States because regulations before, you know.
More and more red tape.
Yeah.
So you're saying with the cows, or as an example, when it got bottlenecked, they had to keep pushing them through, and a lot of them, some of them got euthanized, right?
Yeah.
Or just.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
Yeah. And then during that process, did you guys receive some meat? Was that a good thing for you guys?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Any protein is wonderful for a food bank. We have seen more of it now, but it's just the dependency. We don't know, because we're unlike a grocery store, you know, and even to that, when I say grocery store, they had their own supply chain issues.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw that. You did, as a consumer.
I was at Sam's Club, I don't know, maybe it was a month and a half ago, and I was looking, and I don't shop much for my family, but I went by the meat thing, and it was, like, almost empty, and the two that were there were, like, steaks were like $45. And I
was
looking at it.
It's going to push up the cost, yeah, absolutely.
So then I jumped to the pork side, and it was a little cheaper. anyways, so do you guys, when you have meat there, is it frozen or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, even what we receive as a donation from our retail store partners like Walmart, Kroger's, which is Fry's here in Yuma, Target, Food City is also a donor. All of those perishable meat products, whether it's chicken or fish or anything, has to be frozen.
So your electric bill is probably
It's one of our biggest expenses at the food bank is just our electric bill. It's almost $5,000 a month.
Okay. What do you, as far as getting some numbers on the budget, what does it take to run the food bank annual, give or take?
It takes about $2.5 million.
Okay. And of that, how do you raise that money? Have you had to give a breakdown? Private donations?
Yes. Private donations, our overall budget, because every pound that we receive, because we're a member of Feeding America, they assign a dollar component to it just by virtue of looking at us as a poll with all 200 members.
Okay.
And last year it was $1.62 a pound. So with the amount of poundage that we received, it pushed us up to about $17 million.
Okay.
In donations.
Okay.
Food.
Food, yeah.
Food. Let me be clear. We do not receive $17 million, but we receive $17 million to the food when you apply that to the pound.
That seems like a lot of food.
Yeah, and we feed. Annually, we feed over, it's getting closer to 300,000 individuals every year.
How many people in Yuma County, Russ?
200.
So,
a little over 200.
Does that mean they're coming from across the border? Or?
No, but it just means they're frequently coming.
They come more than once.
Visits.
Yeah. You can come once a month, but you can come once a month forever. If, like, per se, we have a lot of veterans, you know, that are disabled. So. Yeah. They're not going to be the guy that's going to be at the grocery store because they just don't have a lot of money.
Sure.
And so we feed the disabled, the mentally handicapped, the veterans, the single parents, the grandparents that are raising their grandchildren because their parents are having an issue, you know.
Oh, I do that, but the parents are still there. I just interrupt.
You're the one that goes to your grandparents for food?
No. Comfort food. I go to my daughter's house and raise the grandkid without her knowing, you know.
So do you guys do any delivery service or not so much?
We just, with a grant that I applied for, we received I purchased a Ford Trans 350. It's a reefer-cooled van so that we can deliver food. We also are... we've received another grant that we're looking for some staff to help with that. So we've got a little bit of funding, so if you're interested.
So So would your food be delivered to like a group of people, or would it be more individual drops?
It could be either, or, you know, it's not something that we are right now able to do, but this is what we've been working towards.
I see.
Because we have a lot of seniors that depend on family members to be able to get their food. Well, sometimes family's not available, so does that mean that senior doesn't eat that month?
Yeah.
And that's what troubled me, was like, what can we do to support that? It's not an easy fix, but it's definitely, we're working towards it. We've got the equipment. We've got a grant for, you know, to be able to hire someone to drive.
I noticed on the other trucks, there's some local advertising. I believe people pay money.
Yeah.
So does this new truck...
It has some opportunities. Are you looking? Are you looking?
Hey, well, throw it out there. How does that work? I mean...
It's $1,000 to get your business up on one of our... And it's annual.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be $1,000 each year, and you can have your name up on one of our vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah, in support of us.
And that the new truck you have is open.
Yeah, it's a blank slate.
Okay. Listeners, call in.
Yeah.
So our number is 344-5258. If anybody has any questions for the food bank or myself. So going forward, you know, technology changes things. I mean, in every industry. So how is it affecting you guys? I mean, I know it's probably gradual, but...
Not necessarily. We partner with the state of Arizona, and sometimes it can be within... a week. Last year, it was a year and a half ago, we changed to a brand new software that was new to the Department of Economic Security. Link to Feed is what it's called.
So it's more of a tracking issue, like they know you have so many heads of lettuce there, so they can try to maneuver?
It's more to the client.
Okay.
Because as a client, when you come, right now we're operating on a different mode because we're trying to keep less contact with our clients, meaning physical contact. So we are doing mass distributions right now. We're collecting minimal information, but we are collecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to your point, that's what the software is for, so that the state of Arizona knows who is a client, and so that we're not duplicating people. They are definitely people that are in need, because they have to sign a document, you know, attesting to their income. We definitely don't want to eliminate people, but we want to make sure that they are in need.
Do you find that sometimes you turn people away due to income, or is that really not because you don't talk about it? Or
we talk to the client, see why they're there. If you've ever been to...
Russ goes there a lot.
Oh, yeah, I'm hanging out.
You know, we have cameras outside, and I want to say, okay. I don't think I've seen Russ.
I think there's a picture.
Unless you're in costume. In disguise.
A dress.
but you don't find that as... that's not something that you guys screen as much. If people show up, they get food kind of scenario?
Typically, there's a need. A lot of times people come... It's not something visual that you can see. It's a conversation that you need to have with the individual, because with the pandemic especially, we had people that were... They looked like the walking wounded. They walked up and they didn't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to make that...
You still get the complaint, though, I saw a Cadillac and a Beamer out front, but which is all true.
We all share a parking lot.
Well, not only that, you've got volunteers that come in to help deliver food.
Well, that's the point of sharing.
Pick up for other people. And,
yeah. I'm sure your board of directors aren't...
We share a parking lot, so anybody who comes there for whatever reason is in that parking lot. And I will say, because it's something that I stand firmly on, you could have lost your job and you've just bought a brand new vehicle.
Yep.
And that car company lender doesn't care. So you better drive it and hopefully you'll find another job before that happens. So I try not to judge. That was a fundamental foundation with Mike, was like, don't judge people.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a destination. I can tell you, if I was wanting food and I had enough money to go to Kroger's or one of those others, that would be the first place I'd go to. Food bank would be the last place I go to. But it should be the first place you think of if you are in need of food.
Yeah, I wouldn't think about it.
Mm-mm.
How about like dry goods and that, like say beans and rice, is that a big part? Or?
It's something we always need.
And that doesn't come necessarily from Arizona, right? I mean, that's somewhere else.
Well, you know, with the USDA, the partnership with DES, food is purchased on a federal level. That's part of the hunger relief.
So the government's buying a certain amount of the crops and then distributing it?
Yep. And so depending on how they purchase, depends on how we receive it. Sometimes we try not to receive too much in giant bulk items, only because it's hard to repackage.
I see. Now, do you think the government pays like full market price for these items, or they cut a deal on bulk or something?
You got to take a break, boss.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Hey, before I go to break, just one announcement I want to make. I've never done this on Tom's show before. A caller texts me, a guy named Mike. Apparently his mother-in-law was killed on Wednesday on 6E hit-and-run accident. And he's asked if we could get word out if you see a Nissan Altima 2007 to 2016 black in color, front end passenger side damage. His mother-in-law died in that accident. So give me a call, give Food Bank a call, give Tom a call, anybody. But we need to find this person that drives this Altima hit and run on 6E Wednesday morning. Remember they closed it? Didn't know why. But I know Mike, and his mother-in-law passed away
in
that
tragic
incident. It's terrible. And we'll be right back on that upbeat news, AM 560, KBLU.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store. Is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
And it looks better, says, hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop with love. Oh, but ain't that America?
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group, and we got our guest today from the Yuma Community Food Bank, Shara Whitehead, and we're talking about what's going on with our food and food supply. So good morning again.
Good morning.
So our phone number is 344-5258. If anybody has any questions, more than happy to take calls. So on the break, we start talking a little bit about how trade affects the food supply. And I know there was some trade issues with China. And I know China buys quite a bit of farm food from us. So how did, can you explain a little bit about
sure.
how that impacted the food supply?
Yeah, the trade mitigation ended up slowing up a lot of product that was, and some of it, it just stopped it. But it had already been sold, so it's sitting there with no place to go. And with the USDA, again, with the Hunger Relief Act, that was part of the trade mitigation. So that food actually went out to food banks
okay.
across the United States. And that's when we started receiving proteins that we never received. So we were getting meat, dairy, dry goods. It was pretty abundant, and we are just getting to the point now. I believe the end of this year will be the last of it. It's really slowed down a lot because there's been some good negotiations, you know, and things have changed a little bit.
So kind of like with grant money and other things, like your business is very stop and go.
It is.
Never smooth like most businesses.
Oh, no.
You don't have a connection, it stays that way.
Yeah, she has ulcers.
I have anxiety. I look out and see an empty warehouse. It makes me really nervous.
In general, has there been, like, the grant business in the last, say, 5 years, has it been getting better or worse or about the same? Or
you know, it ebbs and flows, and a lot of grants come through public companies like Arizona Public Service does have a grant side, a community giving side, which they're very generous. You apply, you know, you have to state your case. They review, and then they determine whether your request, and this is pretty much a policy, this is on all grants. It's like you're creating a story. You're asking for something, but you're demonstrating in writing what it is that you need this for. And private foundations are somewhat similar. With public businesses, you know, it's how much money that they have to spend depends on how well they're doing. And Arizona Public Service has done pretty well for the last number of years, so they're very generous into all communities, including food banks.
So the and companies in Arizona, I mean, the APS is very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Is there others you want to mention, like Southwest Gas?
I would say particularly First Bank Yuma.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
been really, really blessed with their relationship. Every year they provide annual funding for us. In
a golf tournament, right? Is that still the case?
We didn't do it last year okay. only because we had we started a new fundraising event. It's the Warehouse Gala, Raise the Roof. And we're going to continue that one. We're looking for another date for our golf tournament. Food banks don't typically do a lot of event fundraising because it takes a lot of
manpower
to do that. And we have a very small staff. We have 16 people that work full time, and the majority of those are out in the warehouse, and they're an awesome group of people though that I work with. I'm very blessed to have the dedicated workforce that we got.
How about in the future? I mean, everyone has needs, but is there any like capital improvements you need? Is there some big items?
We need a new roof. We okay. definitely need a new roof. We did get a grant through the...
And who's your president of the board?
No. Let's be clear. It's not the roof, it's the structure.
Oh.
You know, it's an aging building. That building was built in the mid-60s.
So they have to kind of take it off and just replace it
yeah.
kind of scenario?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we've had some valiant efforts over the years to mitigate a lot of the summer storms that mm-hmm. we have here. And in the last year, we had a study done on our building and found out that much of what we've been fixing, it was almost like putting a Band-Aid on a dam.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to just peel it back.
Have you guys got any bids on that?
Well, we just finished up one small portion of it, and yes, we did.
Doing in stages?
Kind yeah. of We thought about moving many years ago, but, you know, the location and the property is really in the right area.
Sure.
It's just the building needs to be rehabbed.
Yeah.
We've got one grant with the county to help replace evaporative coolers because the inside of our warehouse is not air conditioned. Mm-hmm. And that's another issue that makes it real difficult right now, especially to have volunteers.
Replace the evaporative coolers with more or different kinds?
Well, they rotted away. There's nothing there. They're just
water.
Shells.
Okay.
And that's also another place where the rain was coming in. So we just have like a bucket full of possibilities to fix there.
But you couldn't replace that. Billy Ambeline is what, 10,000-15,000 square feet?
100,000.
I mean, that's what I meant to say. But to buy
more zeros.
to buy a 100,000 square foot building is outrageous. I mean, fixing one's outrageous, but buying one would be.
Well, exactly. There's the other side of it. You know, we're getting down to the narrow end of our mortgage, and it's like there is conversation. You know, we're always looking at how can we do better.
But you can't stop the supply, so you have to figure out how to do it all together, right?
Yeah, it's a marriage.
Yeah. Do you have enough property to maybe do the building on the other side so they can build it out, and then you know?
Not really.
Okay, because I know you got this kind of a weird lot. But
it is a weird lot. I mean, you could essentially, if you took up the space on the west side that's between us and Unicool, you could come out, you know, whatever the setback is, you could come out further that way to be able to do that, but we've got some conversations going to see, just kind of speculate, you know, what could the footprint look like and what would the cost be to be able to do that? And could we do it in phases so that we, like you said,
half side open, we have the other half.
We even thought about, you know, many years ago, we put together a program called Fresh, and it was for farm resource education support and help, because we grow so much here in Yuma. And you'd be surprised how many people don't know what to do with fresh food.
Really?
Oh, if it doesn't come in a package and go into a microwave, that's what's really out there. So I've talked to several community leaders that are trying to do somewhat similar and found out that it's easier to get stakeholders to support something like that than to go to the federal government and look for support.
And then you also hear stories about people having gardens in their backyard. I mean, I know that's kind of a trendy thing.
It's nice with some of the schools, like Gary Knox does that through the support of J.V. Smith Companies, who is another very strong supporter of the food bank.
Do you get much food that way, just from individuals, like saying, I got 10 watermelons kind of thing?
Not really.
Okay.
But it's all worthwhile, because everything anybody wants to donate to us gets given out. So if you bring in a shopping cart full of stuff that you've cleaned out your pantry, you know, and it's not too far out of date.
Sure.
We'll take it, because we have homes for all of that.
Yeah. Then how about some of the stores in town? They probably donate stuff as it's starting to turn on the date.
Yeah, and that Best Buy date, that's a strong push within grocery stores to be able to turn product.
Yeah.
So we'll get a lot of that product that, you know, hit the Best Buy date.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
Sure, yeah. Even some of the canned food, I think, has a certain time.
Oh, it all does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like beer. You can't keep beer forever anymore because they figured out how to control
it. Yeah. Yep. It goes flat.
Did I say that?
Okay. I don't remember.
So have you guys ever you guys don't do any alcohol, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but some of our winter visitors sometimes get carried away. So when they're leaving and they put their stuff in there, they'll include bottles of open wine. And it's like, holy cow, we pull that out and get rid of it. It's
send
like,
that over to the mission.
That's not good. Speaking of partners.
That's right.
So you guys partners with the mission?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We're partnered with about 15 of our local nonprofits that are more, it's all food.
Well, they cook, and a lot of times when they get food in, it's like game and stuff. But Richard Sprague, who does a great job of collecting that, they love it at the mission.
Aim to
they
help
think
hunger.
They just roll up the sleeves and say, we cook, send it.
Yeah, and we collect it for them, and then we send it over there. So we've got a bigger freezer, and we're happy to share that space.
Yeah, you don't normally pass out a big package of venison out to a homeless.
Well, and here's part of the reason is that it's more because we're bound by having USDA stamps.
Right.
because of our alliance with Feeding America, what we receive has to have been through a USDA process. So whenever we receive other products in, we will gratefully accept it because we know of other nonprofits that can use that, and that's what we do with it.
You become a transfer at that point.
We are.
So if anyone has a freezer full of old meat, not old meat, but meat that they're not going to use.
Last season.
Deer season meat or...
Because it's coming up. Dove season is coming up
off,
in September.
Huh?
Oh, that's a brilliant deal by Sprague's just to get that thought process out there.
Richard's a great supporter of the food.
Oh, he really is.
Yeah.
But then you empty your freezer and all these hunting guys say, well, honey, I got to go hunting. The freezer's empty.
It all works. It all works.
We'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m., Tom Rush here. We got our guest today, Shara Whitehead, president and CEO of the Yuma Community Food Bank. And we're talking about the food bank, food supply. As far as giving, different ways people can give, let us, the listeners, know how we can help support your group.
I think one of the bigger and easiest ways to do that is employee giving. J.B. Smith Companies has been a long supporter of the food bank, and they do it through payroll deductions. And then once a year, we receive a check through them. Barclay Ag is a strong supporter. There's many in our community that do. Target is another one. And each one of these major corporations, because we are a qualified charity by the state of Arizona, it's usually our name is up there. And it's just a matter of choice.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I know there's a lot of companies you can pay to do your payroll, like we use Paylocity.
Mm-hmm.
Probably easier to do stuff like that than 10 years ago, my guess.
It is, and every business has something different set up. And I've noticed over the last 7 years that there are more organizations that will manage employee giving for businesses.
Sometimes match, right? Like the employees give.
The employer typically, matches to a greater or lesser degree.
Mm-hmm.
J.B. Smith is very, very good. So is Barclay Ag. We've got quite a few others that are smaller.
So if anyone's interested in doing that, they can just contact you and kind of get more information on.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to talk to any business about employee giving.
And then you guys also qualify for the Arizona tax credit.
Yeah, that's
the deal.
Best kept secret in the state, I think, overall.
Sure. So some of you, let's explain how it works.
Sure.
Since a lot of people maybe don't know. So, people work and they pay Arizona state tax.
Mm-hmm.
So your money will get directed to the state. The state will spend the money on whatever their budget is.
Yeah.
So what it allows you to do is stroke a check to different organizations, but you guys are one of them.
Right.
And what's the max now?
For a single person, it's $400, and for a couple, it's $800.
Okay, so that person would write a check to your organization. You guys get the money. You're happy.
Yeah.
And then when they file their Arizona taxes,
you have to itemize.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to explain?
If you're an itemized tax, you're doing your taxes for the year, but you itemize, then you have, I think it's a form 321 that you list. That if you don't give all $800 to one organization, however you split it up,
mm-hmm.
you list on there, and then that money comes off of where your
state tax would
be. Taxes. So it's a dollar for dollar credit.
Right. So it's really like redirecting money.
Yeah.
If I look at it.
Yeah. But you get the choice instead of the state.
Sure. And then I know at one point, I don't know if they've changed the law, but my GPA would tell me that you can also take another deduction for giving to a nonprofit. Is that still the case? Or?
I know that the school is separate, so you can do a school donation as well as a nonprofit donation.
Yeah, private school, public school,
mm-hmm.
Nonprofits that involve people, helping people, I think.
Yeah, well, every dollar that you give to a nonprofit, depending on how your taxes are, is something that can be counted. It just depends on how it's counted.
Now, I know, with the Trump tax cuts or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
I know they doubled the amount you have to itemize. In order to get a deduction, you have to itemize. That's probably hurt the nonprofits, right? Or have you noticed that?
I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of conversation, both in Feeding America and on a statewide level with the Arizona Alliance for Nonprofits, that there was going to be a huge impact. And there may well be, depending on the nonprofit, but we were fortunate. We didn't see that.
And I think in the last 90 days or so, there was another thing that says you can donate $300. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Because I think the way I understand it is you have to itemize. If you're married, it's up to, like, I think it's
$24,000.
Mm. And most people can't itemize that much, so they don't get to itemize their taxes. So if you're above that level, then it's easier to give money away because you can itemize it as part of the itemization.
I'll have to look into that.
But then they were saying that the nonprofits weren't, there's some type of lack of money donation. So I think I don't know if it was the state or the federal, but someone just made it where you can give up to $300 in some fashion. I'm not sure. I think it was pretty new, like 90 days ago. I read about it.
Well, it's been a little busy in the last 90 days.
And I think it's part of the COVID thing. Like, they're trying to figure out
how to
direct more money to the nonprofits.
Yeah.
And that. So.
Well, I will say that, with all of the changes that have occurred in the last year or so, the drop has been small. We have seen a little bit, but with COVID and right now it's a little difficult to look and see where the drops are, because right now, just as a community,
mm-hmm.
we've seen a lot of generosity from people that have given to us, and some of them gave their stimulus checks that they received, which was astounding.
Sure.
They just felt compelled to do that, and I know that they've done that throughout the community and different nonprofits. They've given their stimulus check, so very much appreciated.
Being next to the border, you guys pretty much do nothing with the border, whether bringing food across to use or anything. Or
no, in Nogales, we have a lot of produce that's grown over in Mexico and brought back across, you know, because there's partnerships. We're good partners, you know, as far as business goes with Arizona and Mexico, far better now with the Forefront Ed. And then the, gosh, Jonathan's going to have my head on this one because I can't remember the name of the acronym for the, it was something that was just signed and it's very vastly important between the relationship between Mexico and Arizona to be able to nurture more business, you know, between the two communities. Sure. But we have produce that crosses over from an American company that is farming in Mexico, leasing land from Mexicans, and then bringing it back across.
Because with a new port down here, that should drive more business. I mean, eventually.
It was, you know, when it first started out, it was a teaching facility. So it really, we didn't see that much. And now it's
starting to come like a Nogales type hub.
Yeah, well, and as product is being moved, you know, it makes sense that if it needs to go to Los Angeles, why bring it across in Nogales when you can bring it across right here? Or
if Mexicali have a hub like that too? Okay. So let's talk about your board. Because, I mean, I know your board gives you guidance and support and all the things. So who's on your board? Who's your president or your president of the board, I guess?
Jonathan Lines is our board chair this year. Fred Pete, who is VP with the YRMC, just came off of the board.
Okay. What's the terms?
2 years as an officer.
Okay.
Jack Puckett has been a longtime board member with Yuma Insurance and great guidance with all three of those individuals. Andy Robinson, store manager for Target.
That's nice to see a big box.
Yes. We've got three big boxes. We've got Target, Walmart, Kevin Ladek, who is the store manager out at the 8.5E. Store.
Okay.
And then one of our major retailers, Tim Ploss with Fry's store out in the foothills. They really help us stay grounded, you know, with what's going on in the retail store. And they help us a lot with inventory questions because that's what they do. You know, there's a lot of inventory, food inventory that's flowing in
and out. Your board's about 8 people or so?
No, we've got Charles Molina, who is with Arizona Public Service.
Okay.
John Pitts, who is with Coca-Cola.
Yep.
Wayne Gale with First Bank Yuma. He is the most recent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So it sounds like the board consists of a lot of businesses. People, right?
We just had two board members that rolled off this year. Terry Catanzaro with J.B. Smith Company. She's staying on in an advisory role. And then Tim Ploss, I'm sorry, I mentioned Tim. Tim also rolled off. And he's also staying on in an advisory role.
Some of the old timers around town, if you remember, Frosty Braden had a lot to do with the food bank, right? He was
Frosty Braden, so did the Curtis family.
Okay.
They had a lot.
And when was the food bank formed? Like in
1978.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of history.
It's young.
It's young.
Yes, I was 7 years old.
It's kind of like a lot of things that the mission is still fresh and young, but the infrastructure needs a little work.
That's what it is.
Well, thanks for coming on. You know, I think it's good to keep people in the know as far as how to help people, feed people, and especially in this weird environment we're in.
It is weird. That's a really good way to put it. Not normal.
Yeah, but not only for your industry, but a lot of different industries are.
It's impacted everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully it'll settle down because the more it jumps up and down, the harder it's going to be.
I'm hoping, guessing there's a vaccine around the corner somewhere. So we'll see what happens. But
it's hard to do. I mean, it takes usually 3 years. They're saying they're going to do it this year. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking for test people.
Go right ahead. Yeah. I'm not stopping you.
Well, thanks for coming on. You might have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And have
great.
You on a guest in the future. So
please
thank
do.
You.
Yep. All right.
voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.